Good morning. I'm live this morning, aren't I? I got that microphone right close to my mouth where Chip likes it. Hopefully I'm not blowing you out here. So glad that you're here to worship with us today. I'm back, and I'm not planning to go anywhere now for a long, long time. It's been a summer where I've been all over the place, and I know a lot of you have been all over the place, but we're glad to be together today. Lots of announcements in the bulletin. Hope you'll check all of those out. I think that we're going to be moving towards some pressure washing and painting outside of the church this week. There's a note in here. We've got a building fund and we're going to use it, but look, it's a significant expense. If that's something you'd feel good about contributing to, I encourage you to make a donation to the building fund to go toward that painting. Vacation Bible School coming up the 8th through the 11th. Don't want you to miss that. That's going to be at Mount Tabor. And if you're willing to help, I think it's true that we still need somebody to lead a group or two. Talk with Jordan Chapman. And then I want to point out a couple of things that are not in the bulletin. On the 19th of August, which is 2 weeks from today, Ty Heitman is going to be confirmed, and this will be the first time I've done this here. We had a big class that we pulled from people who were really a little younger so we could get them all confirmed together, but it's been 4 or 5 years, I think, since that happened, so I hope you'll make plans to be here on the 19th when Ty is confirmed. And then next year, I think we might have 5 be confirmed, potentially. So it's will be a big year next year, but it's a big year this year for Ty and for this congregation, so I hope you'll be here for that. The 25th of August, Chip has had a thing scrolling up here on the screen, is the chicken barbecue. So if you would like tickets, see one of the men. If you would like to sell tickets, we will happily give you some tickets to sell. You can talk with Herbert. You don't have to be a member of the Lutheran Men and Mission. You don't have to be a man. Frankly, I don't mind if you're Lutheran. If you want to sell tickets to our chicken barbecue, Herbert will be glad to give you some tickets to sell to that. That's one of the ways that our men are able to support the ministries of this congregation and ministries in the community through that chicken barbecue. Are there other announcements we should share for the good of the community today? I know we've got at least a couple of thank you notes, so I'll turn it over to Kim for those.
I really appreciate the prayer shawl you gave me when my husband died. Please continue to remember me and my family in your prayers. God bless you, Marlene Swearinger. That's Jana's sister. Thanks to all of you for your condolences with the sickness and death of our sister Elizabeth Lib Dietrich. Thank you, Pastor Matt, for being near and having the service she selected. And to the choir, thank you. Thank you for the memorials, flowers, and many cards. Last but large, thank you, ladies and men, for setting up tables, clean up, and serving the meal Herb prepared. Thank you, Herb. No one can say we don't have a good, caring bunch at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. With all our love, Myra, Kat, and families.
We wish happy birthday this week to Brady, Ted, Sue, and Robert, and happy anniversary to Scott and Judy this week. Anybody else we should add to that list? Let's pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Church of God, and for the unity of all.
Let us pray. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and are satisfied. Fill us and this world and all its need with the life that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join us up here for the children's message.
Because we're going to show everybody that we have joy. Okay, oh, Pastor Matt's going to help us good. So, we're going to do a little cheer, okay? And this is going to be your fake megaphone that says joy. Here's one for you, Pastor Matt. And we're going to say, we've got joy. Yes, we do. We've got joy. How about you? And we're going to make them say it back to us, okay? Are you ready? Here we go. Oh, let me get my megaphone. Ready? Nice and loud. We've got joy. Yes, we do. We've got joy. How about you? Oh, let's see if they have joy. All right, you guys, it's your turn.
We've got joy. Yes, we do. We've got joy. How about you?
Now, let me tell you what's the difference in joy and happiness, and then let's see if we can even do it more joyful, okay? Happiness comes and goes. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad. Joy comes from God, and so we can always have joy in our hearts, even during bad times, because God's with us even during those times. So do you feel joy in your heart for God? Let's do it one more time, nice and loud. You ready? We've got joy. Yes, we do. We've got joy. How about you?
We've got joy.
Good job. Thank you, everybody. So I'm going to tell you one of the stories that's going to be at Bible school this week that we won't have time for because it's day 5 and we'll only be there 4 days. So this is the story of Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas are in prison. And even though prison doesn't sound very joyful, does it? No. There is joy in their hearts from God, even in prison. So when you hear me say something joyful, I want you to hold up your megaphones, okay? Paul and Silas had been thrown into jail for telling about Jesus. The jailer was ordered to guard them closely, so he locked them away deep inside the prison with their feet in stocks. So like their feet were bound together. There was no way they could escape. Paul and Silas could have been angry about their situation. They could have focused on their unfair treatment, but instead they focused on God. That's right, they were thinking of God, weren't they? Around midnight, Paul and Silas were still awake, praying and joyfully praising God with song. You think that would be good if we are joyful with song, even in prison? Yeah, so they're still joyful. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, everything started to shake violently. It was a massive earthquake. The earthquake was so powerful that all of the prison doors opened and all of the prisoners' chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw all the doors open, he thought for sure that the prisoners had escaped. He knew he would be in big trouble for letting the prisoners escape, so he drew his sword and was about to kill himself when Paul called out, "Don't hurt yourself. We are all still here." I think that's pretty joyful that they would stay even though they could have escaped. The jailer called for lights. He rushed into Paul and Silas's cell and fell down in front of them, shaking. "Sirs," he asked them, "what must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas told the jailer that he must believe in Jesus. Then they told everyone in the jailer's house about God's love. That's pretty joyful, I think. And his plan to save people from sin. The jailer invited Paul and Silas into his home. He washed their wounds and gave them a meal. Because they believed in Jesus, the jailer and his whole household were baptized. I think that's pretty joyful too. That very night. And because they believed in Jesus, the jailer and his family were joyful. And so this is just one of our stories. Hopefully, I know your families aren't here today, but hopefully you'll spread the word. We have Bible school this week, and I think there's going to be a pretty good Bible teacher there. I don't know her name. But anyway, so I hope that everybody will come for Bible school, and that's going to be a lot of joy in our hearts too. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for the true joy only you can give us, even in bad times. Amen. And if you want to hear more about this or do some fun things, we are going to have children's church.
A reading from Exodus for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them whether they will follow my instructions or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of God appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you should have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 78 and will be read by whole verse responsively. "Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down on the manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Mortals ate of the bread of angels. He sent them to food in abundance.
He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens,
and by his power he laid out the south wind. He rained flesh upon them like dust, winged birds like the sand of the seas. He let them fall within their camps, all around their dwellings. And they ate and were well filled, for he gave them what they craved." The second reading is from Ephesians. "I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive, and he gave gifts to his people. When he says he ascended, what does it mean but that he is also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown away by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceit, scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may be seated. So if I say to Marcus out of the blue, "Here's some spaghetti, don't throw it on the wall," what do you suppose he's going to do with that spaghetti? It's going to be all over the wall, right? Because I've just suggested to his little mind that throwing it at the wall is a possibility, and he may not have even ever considered that before, but now he knows it's a real option, and I'm going to be cleaning hamburger and tomato sauce off the wall. So with a 2-year-old, you don't talk about hypotheticals much. You address the areas where you've run into problems already. So we're saying a lot these days at my house, we do not hit We only go pee-pee in the potty. Works sometimes. When we're inside, we use our inside voices. When we ask for things, we say please. We do not bite. And none of these are out of nowhere, right? We say these things because we have been known to hit, to wet our pants, to yell, to whine, and to demand, and even sometimes to bite. No, the fact that we bring it up at all implies that it's something that we need to work on. And something similar, I think, is happening in our reading from Ephesians today that you heard Kim read from a moment ago. The text calls early Christians to humility and gentleness with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Which sounds to me like a clear indication that the young church was not doing well, that they were divided. Why else did they need to hear all of that, right? It's hard to know exactly what the issues were, but you don't make these kind of appeals hypothetically. You don't make them if there aren't problems already. Maybe the conflict was between the Jewish Christians, who probably considered themselves the old guard, the true faithful, and the new Gentile Christians, who really didn't know much or probably care at first how Israel fit into this whole story of Jesus and the salvation of the world. Maybe, though, it was something simpler, like the little squabbles that we know so well that had already started. Somebody wanted to replace the carpet in the fellowship hall, and somebody else thought that was a bad idea, and it went to trouble from there. In some ways, the church hasn't changed all that much over the millennia. Still today, I think we're all too familiar with division, aren't we? Just within the church, issues of authority, issues of sexuality, issues of biblical interpretation, man, not even to mention which political candidate you might support, all of these issues, they can still wedge such a deep rift between members of the body that we sometimes throw up our hands and refuse to come even to this table together. If you need a more specific example, just look at our church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and our relationship with our brothers and sisters in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Our divisions have become so deep in the last 10 years that we're not even able to work on programs of humanitarian aid like malaria together anymore. We have our own separate little program for malaria, and they have their own separate little program. What kind of witness to Christ is it when we can't even work with our own Lutheran brothers and sisters? It's a testament to the presence and power of sin in the world that even groups of Christians, even groups of Lutherans, even particular congregations aren't able to get along with one another. But it's exactly to this kind of division and conflict that Ephesians speaks. And the message is one that transcends these debates. It's something that I hope breaks through the walls and reminds us of the identity that we share, the identity that supersedes all divisions. Because as we know, the sin that divides us is not the last word. The last word, the first word for that matter in creation, is Christ, who on the cross destroys death and sin's ultimate grasp on our world, and Christ in whom we are truly one. So the writer of Ephesians reminds us that there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And in case you weren't keeping count there, that was seven times over those two verses that the word one is used to refer to how we are connected, unified with one another in what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And of course, This doesn't mean that we all are suddenly seeing everything in the same way and are going to be really excited to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But what it does mean is that we are all in this together, and that we need to stay focused on the fact that we are working for the same cause in spite of our differences in perspective, in spite of our differences in giftedness. As Ephesians says, we are all working to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. That is our shared identity and mission. And that identity and mission, it transcends everything else, anything else that could divide us or even for a time bring us together. It has to be Christ that's the glue that sticks us together. Christ, who died for my sins and also for yours, connects us in history, purpose, and future. This has to be primary for us. Not the color of the carpet, not who is being unreasonable or who has offended me, not where our political affiliations lie, not the fact that we know that we are the ones who are in the right and they are the ones who are in the wrong. If we want to be followers of Christ, and I really think we do, I mean, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the dead, eternal life, the kingdom of heaven brought to fulfillment among us, and a foretaste of it at this table, to me, I think that sounds like something I want to be part of. So if we want to be followers of Christ and be part of that kingdom in the here and now, well, that means that Christ is not just a part of our lives, but is our lives, right? It's the thing upon which every direction and decision and affiliation in our lives happens. And as inconvenient as it may be, that means, if we're going to be followers of Christ, it means we have to deal with each other, not just begrudgingly, but in love, because we are one body. No, we're not always going to be on the same page about things. The text specifically acknowledges, in fact, that we aren't all the same. Some of us have what it takes to be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And actually, it takes all of these differences. We need all of that diversity of gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. But the truth to which we hold is that there is something greater at work than anything that divides us. It's stronger than political affiliations, economic status, cultural norms, denominational differences. Jesus, right? Jesus, the one who claims us, saves us, Jesus and the work of God's kingdom has to be what unites us, what makes us one with our sisters and brothers. So that when we disagree, and it's inevitable this side of glory that we will, we don't disagree, we don't make it about being right or winning the argument, we don't disagree for the sake of putting others down, but that when we disagree, we do it in the spirit of love to which God has called us. Because the thing is, Christ didn't just die for me. Christ didn't just die for Christ. Excuse me, Christ. Christ didn't just die for Chip. Christ didn't just die for Sheila. Christ didn't just die for you to be a free agent and do whatever you want to do. Jesus died for the body of Christ, right? The body. That means all of us collectively, we're in this together as the body of Christ, which we are a part of. The words of Ephesians are for us, not just for somebody 2,000 years ago. And we do well to remember that when that pettiness and indignation rises hot in our chests, we do well to remember those words. I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. That's why we're all here, because we're in this together through Christ who binds us. Nothing in there at all about having to like each other. So if that's a struggle, you can release that right now. You are not called to like everybody, but you are called to love each other. We do have to love each other, because united in Christ, we hold to one mission, and we are one body, whether we like it or not. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us confess what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in our loving and abundant God who provides the bread of life for all who hunger, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Holy God, you give gifts and talents to every member of the church. Strengthen all your children and bring them to a full understanding and maturity in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, our complex and wonderful world is a sure sign of your abundance and care. Provide for every creature and rain down the bread of heaven that gives life to the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Peaceful God, draw the nations of the world to harmony and mutual understanding. Bind all of humanity in the unity of love and peace that comes through the Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for those who are hungry, homeless, those who have lost family or friends. Lead them to places of safety, food, and rest. We pray now, Lord, for those dear to us who we name now that are in special need of your care, including Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, the family of Elizabeth, Lydia, Greg, Barbara, Billy, Gracie, David, Scott, Jeff, Chuck, Brad, David, Judy, Angel and Alexandria, Brianna, Daryl, Wayne, Eddie, Kathy, Philip, Chuck, Tommy, Kathy, Joanne, the family of James, the family of Chip, Don, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you have brought us all together in this time and place. Bless this congregation, including those who are absent from us this morning, and draw us into closer communion with you, with each other, and with our community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Infinite God, we praise you for the lives of those who have lived and died in Christ. Keep our hearts in hope, for we have all received the food that endures to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
our
praise and
praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Oh.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, taste and see the Lord is good. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guide of the Holy Spirit,
our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and to respond in loving action to the needs of our
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks.